If your job is on life support, you need the Job Doctor. My brain is a walking database of thousands of case studies on how careers rise and fall. I'll help you diagnose what's really going on. It's the guidance you need to get back on track from someone who's been there. You can make the money you always wanted to make, doing the type of work you have always wanted to do. You may just need a little help from the Job Doctor. Hello and welcome to the Job Doctor. The doctor is in today, and we are going to be talking about something that a lot of people ask me about, and that is, how do I decide whether I need to make a run at staying at my current company, or do I go to another one? And if so, how do I do that? How do I do that in the best way? There's a lot of interesting nuances to this one. It looks like we have Sarah on the phone. Sarah, it's so great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
So tell me a little bit about what is going on at your place of employment and why you are kind of in this place where you're making a decision.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I'm actually in a unique position in that I actually love my job. I've been here for a couple years. I've had the chance to grow here and also have been given a lot of responsibility, which I love. But there doesn't seem to be much room for growth in the sense that bonuses aren't given as freely as they should be. Increases aren't either. So yes, while I have gotten a few, which I should be totally grateful for and am, from a market perspective, I am lagging behind and am getting contacted for roles. And I'm kind of told, I think that I'm making the most potentially at this level within the company. But because I'm in a sales driving role, I feel like that should be accounted for. So I don't want to leave. I love my company. I'm grateful to be here. But eventually, I'm going to have to, or else I'll be leaving money on the table. So that's my dilemma. How do I fight for myself? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really hard in today's environment to have a job that you love and a manager you love. And so that's something that really needs to be weighed heavily in your decision. I have learned through the years that money is not everything. And I know it's a lot because I teach it, but it is not everything. So I think one of the first things I would do if I were you is get really clear on the outcomes I've gotten, the results I've gotten for the company. You need to get good about your story. Yes. What are some of the things off the top of your head that you have done that you think are pretty exceptional and within the last year?
Sure. So, I mean, I've really helped the company, you know, grow their e-commerce sales year on year with a very small team, which is actually not so good either. I mean, I'm finally getting another team member, but you know, we've had to carry quite a lot of weight. We can do it, and we are doing it. But overall, I've helped them really grow. I've helped them standardize and optimize processes, and really get their e-commerce experience up to really best-in-class standards across channels. And it was really expertise that didn't exist in the company.
Okay. Yeah. And do you think you could put a number to the kind of growth you've experienced in e-commerce? Are you close enough to it that you would know that number? You don't have to tell me, but do you know what it is?
Yes. And it varies by channel. So one business, it grew 3% year on year. One business grew 50%. So because I'm managing tons of different channels. So actually there's.
Okay. So that's number one, is kind of putting numbers around those things that you've done and having a conversation about value. Because let's say that that 50% channel, let's say that was several million dollars. That becomes the basis for a really good discussion to say, you know, I'd like $20,000 more, but I've brought in $3 million or I've brought in $2 million and it becomes easier to ask for what you want. The other thing I would ask as we're kind of crafting what your conversation needs to be with your company, has your responsibility grown and changed substantially over the last year or two?
Yes. In many ways, I feel like I support my boss, who's part of the executive leadership team, in life, many projects, cross-functional projects. So not only am I managing my team and our deliverables, which are hefty, I'm often the bridge or leading projects that are really cross-functional. So, and I feel like I'm kind of like an important cog and an important liaison that really helps to forward. And really, we also have a plan to scale this section of the business dramatically year on year, which brings value to our whole team, right? Not just my yes. angle of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I love it, but yes.
Okay. So that's another thing. The last thing is, have you had a title change in the last year or two?
Yes, I have. I have.
Okay. So that part's good. Those are free. So that's the first place we go. Okay. So here's where I would go with your manager. You have a good relationship, it sounds like, and it's positive. So you can have a high trust conversation. I would use a script something like this. You know, I feel like we've accomplished a lot together. In the last year or two, we have increased channel Y by 50%, which was higher than we expected we could do. And we've increased this channel by 2% and this channel by 10%. All in all, that's brought an extra $2 million for the company. I'm really proud that we've been able to do that together. The goals are really high for next year, but I believe we can do them. And as I think about how my job has evolved and gotten bigger as we have been successful, I think that there's an argument to be made that we should have the job rescoped. It feels like it's a much bigger job than it used to be. And I wanted to talk to you about that. And I also wanted to talk to you about just my growth in general. I would love to have a plan that I can look forward to for growth for the company, both in terms of responsibility, but also in terms of pay. I'm getting a lot of recruiters reaching out to me, and what I'm learning is that what I'm being paid is lower than all of these other jobs. I would really like to stay here, and I would like to continue doing great things together, but I also don't want to leave money on the table. Can you help me craft a plan that could help me solve that problem so that I can feel good about staying here and continuing to grow? Now, I'm going to stop there. That was just kind of off the cuff. We would obviously make it really special and really work on each word if we did it. But what's the feeling when you hear that, the feeling, what is the feeling that you get?
Yeah, that's exactly what I would like to tell her. I think deep down, I'm wondering, is it appropriate to say recruiters are reaching out to me? And I've said little things like that to her, but yes, what you're saying is exactly right on. Yes.
It's okay. As long as you aren't doing, I call it an or else conversation. When you say recruiters are reaching out to me and I've got to have an offer that's, you know, I have to have an offer that matches this or else, you know, or you imply or else, you really lose your leverage and you lose your negotiating power. Because when you can speak like a partner, and that's why I structured it the way that I did, that script, your manager does want to help you. And especially if you have a good relationship, you can say, you kind of position it like, we're in this problem together. And here's a few things I've thought of to do. And here's some things I need. Can you help me get there? And do you have any other ideas of how we could make that happen? Usually, if you have a good relationship with your manager, they will engage with that conversation and get invested to help you. Sometimes you even add on to that conversation. Here's another way to do it. Let me give you an alternative script. I really love working here. Here's the things I've done, blah, blah, blah. I really want to stay working here, but it's getting harder because I'm seeing that there's a disparity in my pay because I'm getting called by recruiters quite often. I would love to craft a plan that we could work towards that you think you could get behind that would work. You're closer to the senior leaders than I am. How can we help build the argument that this role, you know, continue to grow and to, you know, make more money? I feel like we're partway there because we have results that we can show. I feel like we're growing quite a bit. And I feel like I have these other offers, but what would you suggest and get the manager invested in helping you brainstorm around the ideas that, you know, you could have so that you could grow? But really for me, the keywords are, I want to stay. There's other offers on the outside. I don't want to take them, but I don't want to leave money on the table. What can we do? That's really the crux of the conversation, no matter which way you decide to have it.
Yes, I love that. And is that okay for like a weekly one-to-one, or should I give her a heads up, and or should that wait for the next review? Or
it depends on your rhythm. If you have a manager that you can talk to anything about, do it in your weekly. If it's a manager where that might throw them off, then it's fine for you to say, I want to talk to you about my career and kind of a plan for my career. And I want to leave enough time for us to have a really good, rich conversation around that. Can we set aside some time? And you can do it that way as well. Now, the other thing you might find, sometimes managers will come back with these, let's go over the things you'll likely hear. They'll say, I'd really love to give you an increase, but the budgets are frozen. So that might be one thing you hear. The way that I would combat that is I would say, it would cost you so much more to replace this position, you know, and the budget would be busted anyway. And while I'm here, I have all of this knowledge and I'm already up to speed and we're already have this wonderful traction. Do you think that we could rescope the job? Rescoping, because HR cares about rescoping the job. They'll break rules to rescope a job if your job has grown since you came and they think that there's some risk there. So that's one way it could go north. The other one could be, we only do promotions once a year and we do raises, out of cycle raises once a year, and it's not quite time yet. In that case, what I would respond with is, how do you think we can best position me then? For if it's 6 months from now, it seems like we would need to put some things in place. Give me exposure to other people so that they can see the kind of work that I do, or, you know, expose me to the leadership team and let me come to some meetings. You may have some other ideas, manager. How can we put the steps in place so that when that day comes, it'll be a slam dunk? So that's the other way it'll go.
Okay.
And I don't know, do you tell me, you know this company, what do you think might be a response you would get?
I think all those are really great ideas. And I think I just need to maybe formalize it a bit. The truth is, I think I probably have gotten maybe more increases than everybody else. And they don't have a lot of VPs, to be honest. It's kind of like director than leadership. But I also know my value. I already am exposed to the leadership team. The CEO approves of me. Like I have, I've already built a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So, but I think they don't have to do anything either. You know what I mean? And I think that's what frustrates me. Also, and I don't know if you want to talk about this a bit, is that like, we're, for example, hiring now. And I'm hiring a new team member and they're willing to pay market rate. So this person does not have very much experience and she's coming in at a higher level than someone who is already working with me with experience, which I didn't want actually, was like HR pushing for that. And yes. It kind of sits not the right way with me because I want to also be a fair manager and I want the same fairness applied to me. So yeah.
It's, you know what? It really is one of the worst rules of corporate America that they... companies will wait until you're out the door before they'll ante up the money that you wanted and, or you leave and then they have to hire somebody and it costs them a lot more, but still companies don't want to give away the money. And it sounds like you have had multiple increases. So you have a few cards stacked against you because you're right. They'll probably say, well, boy, you've got more than anybody. In that case, you have to have just the clearest value proposition. You have to be able to say, yes, but I've earned that. And here's how much progress we've made in a year. Here's how that translated into dollars. And that's pretty significant. So you have to be clear on that. And the other thing is you could always go after an if-then proposal. An if-then proposal says, well, what's the next big milestone that we hit? If I do that, then will you give me this? And you can get a delayed raise that way quite often because companies love to put off giving money. But I would rather have you have something in writing that you'll get it in a few months if you do something that's really important to the company than have you get nothing or have to leave. And no, yeah. You know, everybody says, well, do I actually have to look for another job and get a counter offer? It actually is one of your strongest forms of leverage. And I hate to even say it, but it really is. So based on what your manager says to you and how far you can get, if you feel like she's still hedging and it just is not going to be a sure thing. And this is kind of maybe going to happen, but maybe not. I would look on the outside because it's like houses. You know, when you sell houses, we never know what to list them for. And companies don't know exactly what to pay you for the job that you're doing until you have an offer. That's kind of the best gauge for what you're worth. And so you might want to entertain one of these conversations with a recruiter, and it's painful and it's hard and it takes your attention away and it's a real pain, but it's a great leverage point for you as well.
Hey, sounds good. Wow. Interesting problems, but okay. That's awesome. Well, thank you for that.
You're so welcome. Do you have any other questions for me before we end today?
Yes. I think I heard you on a recent podcast saying that we really need to talk about on our resumes the value of what we're bringing to a company. So just in general, because I do just want my resume and LinkedIn ready for should anything exciting come my way. Like, yeah, how should I position myself? And is it okay to use one of those creative resumes, or do I use a serious resume? Or, I mean, obviously numbers, percentages, growth, all that I need to show. But is there any advice? Yeah.
I think the most important thing is the content in the top third of the resume. And it's because that's what's going to get them to read the rest of the resume. So be very clear on your value proposition. That's a big word, but let me ask you, these are the questions that I would answer in my value proposition. The kind of company that would hire me is, so kind of answer that for yourself. I would be perfectly placed in a company that needs to do X or that needs to solve these problems. And people have told me my secret sauce or my superpowers are what? And if you can answer those three questions, you'll get close to what that value proposition is. So instead of saying, for me, I'm an HR person with experience in managing and leading HR, which is pretty boring, I say, I'm the person you hire if you want to go fast and if you want to have a company that needs infrastructure put in place so you can go public or have lots of mergers and acquisitions. So it's a really niche thing that I do. And so for your ability to say what you do in a very niche way, the size of company, the kinds of problems you're solving, your superpower, not just what you do, but how you do it, that's what you need on the top resume. And then I want three bullet points. I call it professional highlights. Not a lot of people do this on their resume, but it's extremely powerful. Three business highlights. What are the results or outcomes you got that were the most spectacular, wonderful, and back into it with numbers? And start with the accomplishment and then how you did it. So I increased revenue by $3 million by, that's how you do it. And so that will create a really good start for a very, very powerful resume.
Okay, I love that. That's awesome. And one more question for you. I have a side hustle, which is a website, and it's just for fun. I test things and I do get a few orders here and there. It's on my LinkedIn. It's not on my resume, but I don't know if that's off-putting, if I should just remove it. It's not something I'm doing full-time at all. It's just a fun little project. So I don't know.
It just depends. Is it relevant to whatever job you're seeking?
I mean, I don't know. Because like some people might think, oh, how cool. She's like built something from the ground up. And some people might be like, oh no, like, what does this mean? You know, is she not devoted to her full-time job, which I'm 100% devoted. So you know, I don't know. It's hard to know how to position that, I think.
Yeah. If the job you're seeking is looking for in the job description, you know, creativity or the ability to, you know, work on websites or create something from scratch, then yes, I would put it. But if it doesn't, then it's probably distractive. So, you know, I tell people all the time, you should modify your resume for every job you apply for. Because you want to get as close to what that company is seeking as possible. You want to see what do they want and how do I make sure that they know I have that thing that they want. So it will be different for every company and some may be very interested in that.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, let's see. What is the one thing that sticks out to you the most that you feel really good about that you're going to take from our call today and implement?
Oh, wow. I'm going to definitely take your script and I'm definitely going to take your advice on my resume. And I think those were the things I needed to hear. So I appreciate that. And I will definitely action them.
Great. Well, it is a pleasure to talk to you. I'm so glad that we were able to solve a little bit for you today and check in with me. I'd be very curious how that conversation goes with your manager.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
If you like my podcast, you will absolutely love my book. It's called The Unspoken Truths for Career Success, Navigating Pay, Promotions, and Power at Work. I wrote it because I could see that people didn't understand why some people got ahead and some people's career stayed stagnant. So if you're interested in building a more frictionless career path for yourself and having a better experience with work, this is a book that you need to have. It's called The Unspoken Truths for Career Success. You can buy it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or go to my website at thejobdoctor.com.